when the university college gained its charter and became a university in its own right, they wanted a very conspicuous building right in the heart of Bristol. They weren't happy with those buildings in University Road. They wanted a dominating building at the top of Park Street, and that's what they got from their architect, George Oatley.
They've definitely managed it, haven't they?
They did. To most Bristolians, this is the university, the Wills
Absolutely.
Memorial Building.
And it's one of Bristol's greatest landmarks, undoubtedly. And what's interesting is I think the siting gave it its height. Because actually, it's if you just look at it as an elevation, it's quite a stubby tower in many ways. But the siting is fantastic. And the Willses were determined to leave something that was here for virtually forever. And there was a bit of a fight as to whether it was going to be a concrete or stone building, I think. But Sarah
disagrees
with that.
That's another myth about Oatley. The building is actually constructed of reinforced concrete,
right.
Which
yeah.
was quite fairly unusual for 1912 when it was designed. But it's faced with stone because Oatley said, we don't know how long reinforced concrete will last. And he's been proved right because reinforced concrete weathers very badly.
Well, absolutely. So. But that's why he said he wanted it in stone rather than concrete, so that it would last at least 400 years, I think.
Is that right? You're telling me
that's
a
myth. Story.
It's what I'm prepared to believe. But it was a gigantic scale and a very pompous building, really, of its time. But a brilliantly pompous building, I think.
It's wonderful. And you have touched on it. When you're at the bottom of Park Street looking up, it's such a wonderful view, isn't it? And like you said, it's one of Bristol's biggest landmarks now. You think Bristol, you've probably got the suspension bridge, the SS Great Britain. And this is probably...
The St Mary Redcliffe. And this, I think. Those are the three or four that are the image of Bristol, I think, to an awful lot of outsiders. And I've seen more foreign people taking photographs of this building probably than almost any other.
Some people think it's the cathedral, don't they, George?
When I was 17 or 18, I first came into Bristol for an interview. I came up Park Street, missed the cathedral and thought this must be it.
Well, we've taken a step inside, slightly less hectic inside the main foyer here. But what a wonderful building inside as well.
It's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, your eye is just taken up 75 feet higher than the nave of Wells Cathedral up to this beautiful fan vaulting, part of the Perpendicular style that Oatley used for the building. And right in the centre of the fan vaulting, we can see the oak aperture where the bell, Great George, was lifted up into the belfry when the building was finished. One of the very interesting things, I think, is that for Oatley, ornament always had to be symbolic of the building. You could never have ornament for ornament's sake. And in this building, you'll find that the ornament is all representative of the Wills family and other families who contributed towards the growth of the university in its early days. So you'll see the sun from the Wills coat of arms everywhere you look.
Oh, really?
In the glass and on the shields and carved in the walls. Because apart from wanting to give the university a great conspicuous building, George and Henry Wills also wanted to remember their father, who'd really enabled the founding of the university by the gift of £100,000 at that time. And talking of money, the Wills brothers, first of all, offered another £100,000 to build this building. Oatley told them it's going to cost at least £150,000. It actually cost £500,000 in 1925, which is equivalent to about £21 million today.
Who was in charge of the budget?
I think we'd be challenged to build this even for £21 million. I think to build all this building, you're talking something nearer 100 now.
Yes, and whether you'd have the skills for the craftsman skills to do the carving and the decoration as well, I'm not sure that
well,
you'd...
Well, it'd be a great job creation scheme. I think we need to do another one.
Yeah. You happy to take that on, are you, George?
Oh, I'd be very happy to take it on, yeah.
Should we go into the Great Hall, then,
yes,
shall we?
Yes, let's.
Also, the last time I was in this Great Hall, it was a lot busier. Mm-hmm. It was around about 7 years ago for my graduation.
Yep, that's the main use for the Great Hall, for ceremonial occasions, including graduation ceremonies, and it can actually seat between about 1,000 and 1,500 people, so it's a wonderful time for all involved. And again, your eyes are drawn upwards to this fantastic hammer beam roof, which uses about 60 tonnes of oak. But what is really incredible is that this is a recreation. During Second World War in 1940, the building was bombed, What's really sad is that the fire was under control, but the water ran out, and so the room was completely gutted. And we have a picture here. It's unbelievable, really, just a mass of twisted metal and bare stone and brick. And the Great Hall actually stayed like this for nearly 20 years until another Wills, Lord Delverton, provided the materials and the money to have it restored, and it wasn't actually opened again until 1963.
I think this building and this hall particularly represent a lot of Bristol's 20th century history through wartime. So I think it's a very symbolic hall. It's part of what makes Bristol the envy of the other red bricks, and it's part of what makes Bristol such a popular university and why so many people apply to come here. Undoubtedly.
It's what everyone remembers when they leave, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yeah. And that you learn wasn't the cathedral, that it was the university.